Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, listeners. How are you today? Yes, are you surprised? It's Monday. Monday afternoon here in the city of New Orleans. And right now I'm actually just chilling out in Gulfport, which is about an hour from New Orleans, trying to recuperate from ankle surgery. Yeah, it's a little early for me. Yeah, you say 12 noon is early. Well, didn't really get to bed until like about 6 o'clock this morning. Yeah, me, last minute, working on a paper for class. And it was a really big, important project. So it took me quite a while to get it done. But, and then I had some, you know, phone issues this morning. So, you know, Mercury is in retrograde right now, so I was, you know, just having some technological issues, just things not really wanting to come together. But it's all solved now. I'm here, you're here, we're here, and we're going to have a great time today. So today's topic is about relationships. Yes, we all have one, whether it's with an intimate partner, friends, family. We are all in some sort of relationship with each other. And so today I'm going to have a guest, and his name is Frederick, and he's going to be telling us some, you know, juicy stuff about relationships and maybe some tips on how to handle our relationships and also how to handle ourselves, because sometimes you just really maybe need to be in a relationship with yourself before you move on and are in a relationship with another person. So, yes, I'm your host, Tiffany Camilla, and you're listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. And you can reach us on Facebook at Get Deep and Keep It Real at Facebook.com. I would love for you to call in. And that number is 347-826-9733. Once again, 347-826-9733. And so, you know, go ahead, call in, and let's get this party started. All right, let's get to our guest right now. Hello, how are you today? Can you hear me?
Yes, Tiffany, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you so much for joining us today. How's your day going so far?
It's sunny. It's good weather up here. We had a great weekend, so it's really good. You know, I heard your introduction, and you were talking about the thing about having a relationship with ourself. And I have to tell you, from my personal experience, that absolutely is the most important thing. We don't even realize that we have one with ourselves, but we do. We have a relationship with our best self, and we have a relationship with our worst self. And we have to learn how to manage those relationships in order to have a good relationship with someone else.
I like that. Okay, so tell me, what is the best self and what's the worst self?
Well, one of the things I noticed as I was growing as a human being is that there were people in my life who could bring the worst out of me and people in my life who could bring the best out of me. And that's how I discovered I had these two sides, because I could be with one person and just be a terror, and I could be with another person and be the nicest person in the world. And so I started to think about that, and I realized that all of us really are part saint and part sinner. And what we have to do is decide, you know, how we want to be, pick out the best elements that fit for us. I mean, still today, I'm part saint and part sinner, but I'm a much nicer sinner than I was back then, so.
I like that already. That's good. That is really, really good. So, what are some of the best ways for us to kind of get to know ourselves and try to, you know, pull out that best part of ourselves? Because, you know, I love to tell people, you know, you cannot control the actions of others. You can only control your actions and your perceptions of yourself and how you perceive the situation. So how do we learn to maybe not be so reactive and responsive in response to the way we've perceived a situation in a particular relationship with someone?
Well, I think the first thing is that I consider life kind of an experiment. Life is practice. And so everybody that comes into our life allows us to practice on being the best person we want to be. And there are many situations where we have reactions to the person or to the situation. And what I've learned to do is to subsume the reaction. In other words, have it, but not act on it. Because when you're having a reaction, you're having it. You can't, I mean, to tell somebody not to be angry when they're angry or not to be upset when they're upset is ludicrous. So when you're having a reaction, what you need to do is to process that reaction, to be with the reaction. And it takes practice to learn how to have the reaction without acting on it and saying something you can't take back.
Very important. Very, very important. Well, I didn't give much background on you, so let's, you know, we've really gotten into this really juicy conversation that I want to continue. But let's back it up a moment. And let I want you to introduce yourself and let my listeners know exactly who you are, what your background is, and, you know, what's going on with you. So they have a point of reference as to, you know, who you are and what our conversation is about.
Okay. Well, let me try to give you a brief description if I can.
Okay.
I formally retired from the world of business in 1998. When I say formally, it meant I stopped doing work that I didn't like to do for money. In other words, I love money, but I don't. I spent many of my years working at jobs I did not like, so I quit doing that in 1998. At that time, I had a very good job. I was the vice president of a nationally known skincare company. But in spite of all the perks and all the money, I was not happy at all. So what I was really happy most doing was writing and talking to people, because on the side, I had been coaching people in the area of money, love, and relationships for like 25 years. So I decided to make that my full-time job, and I started that in 1998. And then recently, though I had written several books, I never had the guts to publish any of them. And finally, this year, I published a book called Love Is All I Know, which is available on Amazon. And that kind of brings us up to where I am today.
Awesome. Now, is there a website that you have or some way if my listeners want to contact you?
Yes, if they go to frederickzappone.com, they will find all kinds of insights about love. That page is actually called Insights and Ahas About Love in regards to loving ourselves and loving others. And then they'll also find, you know, links to the work I do, and you'll find links to my book, and just there's a whole page of stuff there that people will find interesting, and they can also contact me.
Awesome, great, wonderful. Okay, so the next thing that I think that's kind of been on my mind, I would like for you to give, are there like just some tips to relationships for beginners, or, you know, people, maybe let's say, like for myself, I'm divorced. I've been divorced for a while. So, you know, obviously there were some issues in my past maybe that I needed to work on, because if not, I would still be married, you know, possibly to that person. And so do you have any recommendations for, you know, people who've been in long-term relationships who are, like, starting over in the new relationships, any tips, do's or don'ts for them?
Well, I think the first thing is that regardless of how a relationship ends, it's important that we don't take it as a statement there's something wrong with us. You know, there's two people in a relationship, so when it ends, the other person has just as much responsibility. And the problem with blaming ourselves is that if a relationship ends and, say, somebody leaves us, and then we start blaming ourselves, that really kind of pollutes our whole thinking about relationships, and we go into every relationship from that point saying, there's something wrong with me, because if there wasn't something wrong with me, the person would still be with me. We never think of the possibility that the reason why the person left is because there was something wrong with them.
Exactly. Well, but how do you learn not to take it personal, though? You know, especially if you've been in a very long-term relationship.
Well, of course, you will take it personal, okay? We all do. The thing is to kind of diffuse that. In other words, and the way you start to take things less personal is finding more good things about yourself to like. And it's, you know, I really am into this self-love because, you know, my life really was on the toilet in every area. It was on the toilet financially, health-wise, relationship-wise, because I was seeking love outside myself rather than first loving myself and then letting people mirror that love. And so today, you know, I feel that. Are you still there?
I'm sorry, yes.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Okay, that's fine. Anyhow, today, because I like the way I am, in other words, I've come to grips with my strengths and my weaknesses. And my weaknesses, mm-hmm. the way I dealt with them, I literally loved them to death. And in loving my weaknesses to death, they don't bother me any longer. I still have the same weaknesses. I've had the same weaknesses all my life. But I used to make myself wrong. I used to beat myself up. I don't do that anymore.
Okay. You know, it's funny you mentioned this because I was having a conversation with a friend yesterday, and, you know, they kept bringing up how they were hurt in their past by family members or whatever, and they just kept harping on that. And I was like, you know, I get it. I understand it. You know, I'm not going to take your pain away from you. But there comes a point in time that you have to stop living in that pain. And they were like, well, you know, I'm worried about getting into a relationship because I was never shown a good relationship in my life. And, you know, what am I supposed to do? I don't know how to act. And I was like, well, number one, you know, look at examples. I mean, I don't like to use celebrities and television, but sometimes, you know, there are models for, you know, positive relationships in society, as in, you know, celebrities and television and such. But, you know, I told her to take it back to, you know, was there, you know, someone from work or, you know, a teacher or personally that she knew that possibly could have been a good role model for that. I said, but, you know, and I told her in the end, you know, because she has contact with the children and the work that she does, and I said, you know, how you teach and mother those children, sometimes you have to love and mother yourself. Be the parent to yourself that your parent wasn't able to give you, and love yourself the way you would maybe love someone else. And I would just like to get your opinion on that. What do you think about that? Did I guide her in the right direction or not?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Loving yourself, you can never go wrong when you give people the advice to love themselves, because quite frankly, we're not really taught that. But this is what I will say about hurt, because we've all been hurt. And then we're afraid. The problem is we use the hurt to be afraid not to go into a relationship. But here's the thing. Somebody hurts us. That's bad enough. But when we replay that hurt over and over and over again in our mind, we allow that person to hurt us over and over again, even if they're not physically present in our life.
Right.
So as a consequence, once you're hurt, you need to, I guess, embrace it and deal with it and cry it out and do whatever you have to do and let it go. Because as long as you're focused on the hurt, then you're going to act like a deer in headlights. And you will attract people who are going to hurt you. So you have to literally embrace that hurt that you have, completely heal it, cry it out. You have to take a club and beat a tree or you know, beat pillows to death or something.
Right.
Because it's kind of like whatever we focus our attention on, we attract more of the same. So if we keep on focus on, I've been hurt and I'm afraid I'm going to get hurt again, that's exactly what's going to happen. And that's where your advice about loving yourself more is so important, because then that gets people going in the right direction, and then they start attracting people who will love and respect them rather than abuse and use them.
Right, right. Okay, so we're doing all this talking about loving ourselves, but I'm sure there's still some listeners out there that say, sure, Tiffany, sure, Frederick, you're talking all this, but how do I do it? Do I have to go to counseling? Do I need to, you know, meditate? You know, do I need to buy myself clothes? Do I need to eat? Do I need to go shopping? I mean, because there are many ways that we can find, you know, do I need to masturbate? Do I need to pleasure myself? What? How do you love yourself? Because some of us just really don't know. And I know for me sometimes, loving myself might take different shapes and forms, depending on my mood or who I am.
Well, I think, you know, loving yourself is whatever makes you feel whole and complete. And it may be nothing more than just repeating to yourself, I love myself, I love myself. Now, I know that sounds hokey, but the truth is it works. Because what you're doing, you see, the mind will operate over whatever command you give it. So if you repeat something over and over again to your mind often enough, what it will then do is it will start to produce evidence that what you've repeated to yourself is true. Now, in terms of how, there's many ways. Meditation is one way to love yourself better. Exercise is one way to love yourself better. Reading is one way to love yourself better. There's a thousand different ways you can love yourself, but the end result is that whatever you do should make you feel good about yourself. It should raise your self-esteem. It should make you smile. For an example, loving myself, one of the ways I love myself is that I occasionally go out and I get the biggest damn ice cream cone I can get. Because I love ice cream. It makes me feel good.
Right.
So
right.
You have to do those kind of things. And like I said, there's 100,000 ways. But the bottom line is whatever action you take and whatever thought you think that makes you feel good about being you, that's loving yourself.
Right. And also, just to add in my little 2 cents here, I always like to encourage myself and others. Sometimes, to get out of your hurt and your pain, you have to live into someone else's hurt and pain. And that is to say, sometimes sharing your experience or, listening and being a friend to someone else and, listening to their hurt and their pain and having, empathy for them sometimes helps you to move on. And I also like to say sometimes working with children and the elderly are some of the best ways to get yourself out of a funk or out of whatever you're going through, because it's just kind of kids and old people to me keep you honest, because they're both just going to call it the way they see it, and it kind of just helps you find maybe like the positive in your situation instead of maybe just focusing on the negative, or
yeah,
it
I
may
agree.
Help
I
you
agree.
To realize what you need to clean up. You might think your shit don't stink. And a kid or elderly person might call you out in a minute. Whereas your friends
may not. When you have pain and suffering, one of the quickest ways is just like you said, is to focus on other people. And focusing, I agree with you about old people and kids. They are the most honest, and they will set you straight faster than anybody. And because the thing is, in order for pain to sustain itself within us, we have to constantly focus on it. We have to constantly kind of turn within. It's kind of like playing with our own poop over and over again. It's like, when you get tired of the pain, then you look for something to take the pain away. And one of the ways to do that is encourage others. Or if you see somebody in pain like you're in pain, since you've been in a similar experience, you can give them empathy and comfort. And that alone will make you feel better about yourself too.
Right. And I don't know who said it, but I think I've heard someone say that sometimes pain can be a good thing. Sometimes that pain and discomfort will say, make you realize, hey, I need to make a change. I don't want to deal with this crap anymore. Let me get my stuff together because this doesn't feel good. I don't like this. So how can I improve or change myself? And also, like, being in touch with nature also, kind of makes me feel a little bit better. But I will honestly admit this. I think I might be addicted to pain. I think in certain situations and times in my relationships, I kind of like when I'm mad or hurt and angry at that person. And I don't know if that's, part of my baggage or my background or just something that turns me on sexually or whatever. But, I will be the first to admit that I might be addicted to pain.
Well, you're not alone. Actually, as you know, people take a lot of painkillers. Now, here's the reason they take the painkillers, not because they're the painkillers, but because they have pain. We're actually brought up in a society where they control us by making us feel pain. So we can't help but get addicted to pain. And
right.
One of the reasons that we kind of gravitate towards pain is because for a lot of us, feeling pain is better than feeling nothing at all.
Yes, actually, I will agree with that. I will definitely agree with that. Because
so
at least you're feeling. Because when you're
as you said, the pain, the more you feel the pain, the more you're becoming more sensitive as a human being. So at some point you say, okay, I've had it. And that's what happened to me. I mean, my life was very, very painful. And so I said, okay, that's it. No more pain. And I walked away from it. But it takes a while. The addiction to pain is probably just as addictive as it is to cigarettes, I got to tell you. But you can start to walk away from it. You know, I walked away from it physically in some cases, but in most cases, mentally, emotionally, which means I didn't put myself in situations where I argue with people, because I understood that every time I argue, not only did I experience pain, the other person experienced pain. So under no circumstances will I argue anymore. Doesn't mean I won't talk, doesn't mean I won't communicate, but I'm not going to have an argument where people feel pain.
Right. And two other things I want to just say here very quickly is, and going back to the whole pain thing, what I've really found in this society of late is that we're trying to mask and cover up a lot of pain, especially when it comes to our children. I mean, these kids are this is so not on relationships, but I think it's just important to point out that we are like numbing our kids and having our children and ourselves, because as you mentioned, a lot of adults are on painkillers. So we have a whole society, new society of people walking around who are numb, who are zombies, who are robots, who are not feeling anything. And then we wonder why some of our relationships are in the state that they're in, you know.
I agree.
And I don't understand it, and that's probably my biggest angst with pharmaceuticals being given to us in general in this country, is because now we also feel like we shouldn't deal with any pain ever. And you can't grow and move on like that.
Yeah, see, the pain is an alert signal. It alerts you something is out, and if you can't feel the pain, then you don't know what's wrong. And oftentimes when you can't feel the pain, you do things you would never do if you did feel the pain, and in the process you harm people. The reason why there's painkillers out there and people sedate their feelings is it's an expedient way to deal with feelings and emotions, because quite frankly, society as a whole is scared of feelings. They don't know what to do with them. So let's numb them, let's give people pills for them, rather than understanding that there is no such thing as a bad feeling. Every feeling has value. In fact, I call anger one of the holiest feelings of all, because it alerts us when our sense of justice has been violated. Anger will give us the courage to act when we feel like a coward. Anger will wake us up. But the thing about these emotions is to be able to transform them into positive driving energy. And that's what I do with and I've had every emotion, and I still do. Sometimes I get very angry, but I don't take the anger out on anybody, and I don't beat myself up with the anger. I turn that anger into passion by taking action. Because there's nothing fast, nothing that will straighten your emotions out faster than taking some kind of goal-directed action.
I love that. I love that. Take action. Keep it moving.
Exactly.
Love it. Take action. I love it. Now, I can't believe our time is just going by so fast here. This is just awesome. We're having an excellent conversation here. One, I want to get into a little taboo thing. I would like to talk about this new thing that's really become popular in the last 5 to 10 years, and that's this whole friends with benefits relationship. I don't know if you could talk about that, but how do you think that is affecting the whole dating and relationship scene these days? Or has it always been going on and it was just called something different?
I think it's always been going on. I think it's just more visible. I think it's good that it's more visible in the sense we can get a little more honest with us. Because, look, we are all built, we're all created with the urge to merge with another. This is a God-given desire to want to be one with another. And why do we want to do it? Because it feels good. I mean, it's like, I don't get it. You know, it's like we edify and we glorify war, which kills people and feels really bad. But when it comes to sex, you know, we made this a big sin. It's like, quite frankly, if everybody was making love more often, there certainly would be a lot less conflict. And people wouldn't want to be taking pills because they'd really want to feel everything. That's just where I am with it.
I love that. I love that. Make love, not war. Hello.
You exactly. bet. I mean, really, that's a cliche, but there's more truth to that than people imagine. And the thing is that, you know, the friends with benefits, I think, is more honest than what was in the past. But everybody
right.
has to be responsible for, you know, their relationships and the consequences of it. And so if you have a relationship where you have friends with benefits and there are either no consequences or you're willing to deal with the consequences, then that's between you and the person you're involved with. You can't legislate that. As much as government would like to legislate that, you cannot legislate physical interactions between people. It just cannot be done. It hasn't been done since the beginning of time, and it's not ever going to be done. Unless you put everybody in prison and keep them in separate cells, and then, well, that'll end that problem.
Now, one other taboo thing I would like to ask you about. In your opinion, do you think it is a way to ethically or morally or authentically cheat, or cheat with integrity is what I like to call it? Is there such a thing? Is it possible?
Well, okay, here's where I am with that. This is the way I look at it. What I think is most important is honesty. For an example, if you're in a committed relationship and you know there's somebody else you got an eye on, you should have enough safety in the relationship to be honest about that. You know, Kenny Loggins, the musician, he wrote a book called The Unimaginable Life. It's a great book about his relationship and about the honesty in the relationship. Whereas whatever is going on, you have the safety and the courage to say, look, I'm really attracted to this guy. I want to go screw his brains out. You know, I think there's a lot more honesty in that kind of thing because it's not cheating because you're laying it out in the car on the table and the partner has a chance to say, okay, well, if you go with that man, I'm leaving you. Or, okay, if you go with that man, I'll stay with you, but I'm going to be upset. You know, in other words, you can have more authentic conversations with honesty.
Yes.
And if it's honest and open, then I don't know how you call it cheating if it's all in the cards. And I think we owe that to our partners to have it on the table. Where the cheating and deception and the hurt comes from when we're hiding something from our partner. That's just my take on it. And it does take courage to be that honest, I will admit. But in some ways, I think it's the fairest way because then the partner has a chance to respond to how you're feeling. And look, every one of us. I mean, I can walk down the street and I will be attracted to half a dozen people, and I'm sure half a dozen people will be attracted to me. It's as normal as, you know, night and day. So we have to deal with it.
And we have about less than 2 minutes to go, or right about 2 minutes to go. So one other thing that I would really like to talk about is the connection between relationships, spirituality, and sexuality, and how we can all maybe rein it in to be the best that we can be in our relationships, combining all of those elements together, which I feel are very important.
Well, for myself, spirituality and sexuality are one and the same. It's energy. It's all energy, you see, and it's just a higher form of energy, and it's a, you know, if you take away all the prejudice about sexuality and take away all the taboos about sexuality, what you're left with is this very invigorating, passionate energy that when you have a taste of it, you can then bring more of that kind of life into your everyday life. You know, I'm a passionate person, but I've learned to develop my passion from giving up all my guilt around sex. I mean, guilt around sex has not made people do it less. And so you have to give that up and see that it's just this great energy. It's just this great energy force. And the main thing is that when it comes to sexuality, it's handling it in ways that you're not hurting anybody. See, it's not the sexuality that's the problem. It's the stuff that we do where we're not as open and honest. And I literally went into this relationship with as much open and honest, and I am this way. I will never, ever cheat on her because she knows that if I have this great overwhelming desire to go with someone, I'm going to talk to her first about it. When we first got together 10 years ago, it was one of the first things we laid out. You know, we both wanted a monogamous relationship because that worked for us. I'm not saying any other kind of relationship is wrong because that's not for me to judge. This is what works for me. And we both agreed to it, and we both agreed that we're really attracted to someone else. Before we act on it and get someone else involved, we're going to talk about it. And so we have that kind of honesty, and that has been the foundation of our relationship. And that's the reason why after 12 years I love her just as much today as I did the first day I met her.
Oh, I love that story. Well, we have less than 5 seconds to go. Any last minute pointers or tips you want to give to my listeners?
Oh, geez. I just say go to frederickzaffone.com. You'll find a lot of insights there. And you can also write me. I answer everybody that writes me. It might take me a little bit of time, but I will get back with you. So if you have questions, I'll throw them your way. Or sign up. Get on Facebook. Find me on Facebook with Tiffany, and you'll find a lot of my stuff there.
I love it. Well, this has been the most wonderful conversation interview I've had in a while. I really enjoyed it. We're definitely going to have to do this again. We may have to do a part two here pretty soon, because I think you just offer so much insight and depth to the topic of relationships. And I think I've seen that you also write books about money and finances and all sorts of things. So who knows, maybe we can do, a part two, three, and four, a couple of sequels here.
whenever you want to do it, I'm up for it. Thank you so much, Tiffany.
Sounds great. And you have a great day.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla on Blog Talk Radio. I hope you've enjoyed today's show. The topic was relationships and getting to love and know you a little bit more so that you can make your next relationship work a little bit better. I hope you enjoyed our guest, Frederick Zappone. You can find him on Facebook either through my link at Get Deep and Keep It Real on Facebook.com or through his website, and I think that was frederickzappone.com. Check out my Facebook, make sure we got it right. Anyway, thank you so much for joining me, and you'll be hearing from me again soon. So remember, always get deep and keep it real with everyone you meet. Love you. Bye-bye. Peace, love, and happiness.